Morning, Coach.
What's going on?
Hey, how's it going?
Good. How are you?
I'm fine.
So, the Patriots haven't done this Thanksgiving Day game in quite a while. You guys have. How do you adjust the preparations? How do you handle just getting ready for a game so close to another game?
Well, a little bit like pulling an all-nighter in college. You just would have to go on fumes for a few days. Adrenaline takes over once you get to test time, once you get to game time on Thursday. You know, typically on Sunday, the coaches come right back in after the game and put a plan together for the Thursday game. And generally, you do some work earlier in the season, earlier in the off season on that game, knowing that you're going to have a short week. Players come in on a Monday, you get a walkthrough, and it's like a Wednesday, and come back on a Tuesday, it's like a Thursday. I'm sure the Patriots are on a very similar schedule. You know, then Wednesday is a day before the game walkthrough, and then Thursday you get up and you play. It's a mental week. It's really not a physical week. You know, the physical stuff will come on Thursday, but it's a short week. It's a non-conference opponent. It's a non-division opponent for both teams, and you have a lot of work to do in those 3 days.
Coach, when you do this every year, does the game still hold the specialness that it holds for opponents when they play this game and think back on playing on Thanksgiving? Does it still hold the same kind of uniqueness with you all, even though you do it every year?
Well, there's a lot of Thursday games now in the NFL. You know, it started a couple weeks ago, and it seems as though it's becoming more and more common for there to be games, and there's going to be 3 games, you know, this Thanksgiving. So it's not as rare for the other teams. You know, this has been a tradition. You know, it's been a long time standing in Detroit. And there's been some memorable games. There's been a lot of magic involved in Thanksgiving. We need to pick that back up from a tradition standpoint and make it very difficult on opponents that come here to play on Thanksgiving. You know, I think we're on the right path there, but we need to get back on the winning track, and Thanksgiving's a great day to do it.
Jim, this is Mike Reese with ESPNBoston.com, and I was just curious, when you took the turkey sandwich, was it on wheat or white?
I don't know. I can't remember that. It was, but I do remember I used up all the turkey. Yeah, I can't remember. Maybe it was, I don't know. Probably white. I don't know how health conscious I am.
On a serious note, as you face a Bill Belichick coach team, what do you see from the Patriots this year?
Well, anytime a team has a quarterback that is in the discussion for best player of all time, that's going to get your attention. You know, Tom Brady's that guy. You know, when you have the Super Bowl wins that he has, and the career wins that he has, you know, that's always going to get your attention. I think that they do a fantastic job of mixing veteran players and young players. They have a lot more young players than they have in the recent past. They've gone through a lot of draft picks over the last couple of years, but they also sprinkle that in with veterans like Sammy Morris, Fred Taylor, and they sort of bring along the Danny Woodheads and the Jarvis Greens in the backfield and all those young tight ends they have. I mean, Gronkowski and Hernandez, I mean, both are outstanding. You get a guy like Algie Crumpler, who's, 10, 12 years, whatever it is, in the NFL as a veteran player. So, you always have a good quarterback. They're always going to have, multidimensional players that can be used in a lot of roles. And, for the first time in a long time, they've gone through a pretty good youth movement. But they're also balancing that with some veteran players that are able to lead those rookies.
Speaking of youth movements, what have you thought of Ndamukong Suh? And has he been able to come in and be like a veteran, or have there been some growing pains for a guy who comes right in and plays right away?
Well, amazingly, there hasn't been a whole lot of growing pains with Ndamukong, and that's one of the reasons that we drafted him. It gave us comfort to pick him number 2 overall. We've had 2 very high draft picks the last 2 years, Matt Stafford number 1 overall and Ndamukong Suh number 2. And, you're picking talent at those positions, but you're also picking personality and character and work ethic and those things, because you can't afford to make mistakes at those positions. Both of those players gave us a lot of confidence in calling their name on draft day and with the contract that goes along with it. And one of the reasons is Ndamukong is very, very serious about football. He's a very hard worker. He has a great temperament for the game. He's resilient. He's extremely strong, and he's a great learner. And he's improved every week during the season, you know, and he's been a marked man since the very first game he played, the first preseason game. They were doubling him most of the time in that game. But he's managed to not only be effective but also be productive and get good numbers and things like that. You know, last week there was a huge play in the game. It ended up not meaning as much because of the way the game ended, but early in the third quarter he forced a holding penalty in the end zone, and we get a safety and take the lead in the game against the Cowboys. So there's been a lot of things that he's done that have been very, very impressive for us. He's a great athlete, but I think the most impressive things that he does are things that, you know, you can't see when you're watching TV. You can't see him work out. You can't see him in the meeting rooms. You can't see him, you know, around the fans and things like that. And he's outstanding in all those areas.
Question on the Patriots' top draft pick, Devin McCourty. What did you see of him, Jim, coming out of the draft, and what have you seen this season from him?
Well, he's been another guy that's been productive this year. I think he has 3 picks so far.
Yep.
But the thing that really stood out about him when he came out of college is he was a leading tackler on his team. He was outstanding, very physical corner that likes to mix it up. And you don't find that combination very often, a guy that is, that's a tackler, that's a physical corner, but also has cover skills. You know, generally they come in 2 different packages, and McCourty carries both of those. He didn't have a lot of interception production in college, mainly because people didn't throw at him very often. But he's been outstanding for him. Like I said, that's been a big youth movement for them. A rookie playing corner in the NFL, that's tough business. And they have a couple of very young corners that are seeing significant playing time for him.
Jim, Bill talked quite a bit yesterday about his relationship with you and when you first came into the league. Can you talk about what you learned from him and your time in Cleveland when you were with him?
Well, I probably owe my entire NFL career to Bill Belichick. He gave me a start when I was very young and very inexperienced, but willing to work 18 hours a day for not very much money, and just the chance to learn from, you know, Bill and the way he prepared his teams and the way he ran the whole structure of the club. From the way they traveled to the way they practiced to preparation to the way he handled the coaches to the draft to free agency, every single thing was important to Bill Belichick. And I learned that at a very early age. Also learned how to deal with adversity. You know, Bill, we had ups and downs in Cleveland. We had a very successful season in 94, very disappointing season in 95. He had to steer that team through, announced move to Baltimore. Very, very difficult situation. Steered the team through, changing of quarterback from Bernie Kosar, a local icon. Bill never lost faith in his ability and his vision for what the team was going to be. And I owe a lot of that perseverance in my career to Bill Belichick. I've tried to take a little bit from every coach that I've been around, and I've been very fortunate. Bill Belichick, Marvin Lewis, 10 years with Jeff Fisher down in Nashville. All 3 very excellent coaches. Being around Bill Belichick at the beginning of my career, getting that opportunity to not only work for him but to learn from him has probably guided my career the most along the way.
As of last night, I'm a follower of your Twitter account, so congratulations for that.
Yeah, haven't been posting a whole lot lately.
You got to get back into it, man. Have you enjoyed that? And was there something in particular that kind of led you to start that? You don't see too many coaches on Twitter now.
Well, we started doing it in training camp, just with an idea of trying to find another connection to the fans, another avenue to the team for the fans. And for some reason, people were interested in what kind of music I like, so we sort of did that. And not always football. I mean, we're not breaking any news on Twitter or doing a stream of consciousness thing, but just giving them a little bit insight into the matchups each week, maybe, or you know, different things like that that, you know, just give people another personal relationship to the team. I mean, the NFL is such a great sport. People have hometown teams that they live and die with, and, you know, people read everything they can. You guys are all in business because people love the NFL. They love to find out everything about the NFL. And when you make that connection personal, you keep fans for life, and that's what we try to do here. You know, our team is very good about, you know, about outreach to Detroit, being around in the community and things like that. They don't just work here. They live here. And every chance we have to be able to touch a fan, even if it's, you know, something as, you know, something as, you know, minor, whatever you say, as Twitter, you know, I think that helps us in the long run. We need our fans. Our home field has been a much different experience this year compared to the years that in the recent past. And I think they see what we are as a team and what we can be as a team, and they're genuinely excited about that. We need to keep connecting with our fans.
The offensive tackle, Gosder Chehrilis, played at Boston College. Jim, how would you assess his body of work in your time with the Lions?
Well, he's still a young offensive lineman. He has a lot of starting experience now. Has become a much more consistent player this year. You know, he came out as a rookie, or came here as a rookie before I was here. And, you know, got some experience, got some playing time a little bit. Injury set him back, had a knee that set him back and, you know, caused him to, you know, miss a lot of time, practice time, preparation time, you know, developmental time in his second year. And he didn't have as consistent a year as he would like to have. But he bounced back this year and has been very consistent for us. He's a massive man. You know, he's very smart. He takes the job very seriously. You know, playing offensive lines, it's a difficult thing. I mean, you know, when you're the only way to get experience is to play, and experience means a lot on the offensive line. I mean, you look at the Patriots, and you know, I mean, you look across the board with those guys. It's just amazing. I mean, Matt Light's 10 years, and Dan Cobbins, you know, 8 years, and Mankins is 6. I mean, that experience means something. And you can mix in some, you know, some young guys like Vollmer out there is in his second year. That's sort of the way we are with Gosder. Jeff Backus brings us a lot of experience. He's able to learn from guys like, you know, Gosder is able to learn from guys like Jeff Backus. But I think Gosder has an outstanding future. I think he's put his injuries behind him. And, you know, I think he's on his way to becoming a very consistent player for us.
Jim, you mentioned the Patriots and seeing a line like their offensive line. What's the difference you've seen in them with Logan Mankins back in their lineup, and how does he change the look of that line?
Well, I mean, he was their franchise player, wasn't he? He was first-round draft pick. You know, he's a guy that has a lot of starting experience. He's a versatile player, can play a lot of different positions. You know, and the one thing that the Patriots pride themselves on, and we try to build the same way here, is having multidimensional players, guys that can fill in a lot of different spots, and you don't have big drop-offs when you do have guys go down. And with Logan gone with his contract situation early in the season, you know, they did a great job of plugging in guys like Connolly, and, you know, and he fit in really well for him. But there's nothing like having the guys that you're building around, the guys that you draft that are, you know, the guys that you evaluate and say, this guy fits exactly what we do, and have experience, and you put him in the lineup. There's nothing like having that. They're an offensive line that very rarely makes mistakes. They're very well coached by Dante Scarnecchia. You know, and they're very tough. I mean, there are a lot of guys that look very similar across that line. There's not a, you know, they have a profile that they like, and all those guys look very similar. They play very, very well as a unit. And I think that's the biggest thing. Anytime you talk about offensive line, you always talk about how they play as a unit, not how they play as an individual. Because that's the main thing. One guy playing poorly on the offensive line can make the other four look bad. And the Patriots have been very consistent on their offensive line. And you better be when you have a Hall of Fame-type quarterback and Tom Brady back there. You need to protect them. You need to keep them healthy and keep them playing for 16 games a year.
Jim, if I'm a fan of 80s hair bands, Poison, Motley Crue, do I have to hate myself every morning, or is that a genre you have any respect for or any like for the sort of the body of work of that style of music?
Oh man, love that stuff. Man, how can you not listen to Poison and have a smile on your face, man? Yeah, you're taking yourself way too seriously if you got to be critical of stuff like that. I'm not a music snob. I listen to a lot of different stuff. I listen to country. I listen to rock and roll. I listen to heavy metal. I listen to hair bands, man. I listen to Christina Aguilera. I listen to about everything that you can put on a CD player. But man, that stuff puts a smile on your face. And I think that the thing that people, I mean, when I grew up, my dad always played 50s music in the station wagon. And that's the only music I knew when I was a kid, because that's what he grew up with, and that made him feel good. He's riding down the road. He remembered being, 17 years old and having the top down in his convertible and riding around town. And I think the people that like those 80s hair bands, it's a lot of the same thing. They remember where they were when they heard that song. It makes them feel good. Makes them feel young. There's nothing wrong with that.
Love to hear it.
Jim, before we let you go, could we ask you to just comment on three coaches on your staff who have ties to either the Patriots or this region, Sam Gash, Sean Jefferson, and Matt Burke? What type of coaches are these guys? What do they bring to your staff?
Yeah, I'd love to comment on all three of those guys because they're all outstanding, and they all have great futures in the NFL beyond being position coaches, beyond being coordinators. I think all three of those guys bring a little different personality and a little different, they each bring something different to the party, so to speak. I'll start with Sam Gash. As a defensive coordinator, I went against him an awful lot of times, and there was nothing like having that, that battering ram back, and you knew you were going to be in a long day in the run game when Sam Gash was out there. He was tough as could be, played injured, and was a very, very consistent player for a long time. That's the way he is as a coach. He's tough as can be. It's no nonsense. Has a great relationship with the players. And they respect his toughness. They respect his playing experience and the way that he prepares them. Sean Jefferson is, a lot of wide receiver coaches are laid back. Sean Jefferson's not. He's a guy that's in players' faces 24/7. And the thing that's great about Sean is he can turn around and really be critical of a player and really chew him out on one play and then turn around and high-five him on another. Just a genuine enthusiasm, a genuine wanting for his players to do well, and he doesn't play any favorites. He coaches Calvin Johnson the same way he coaches the guys on our practice squad. And, I think he brings energy to the practice field every day, and another guy that has a great future in this league. Also an outstanding player for a long period of time in the league, and the players respect that. Matt Burke, I hired when I was in Nashville as defensive assistant. I was looking for a guy that had a background that could help us in game preparation, and we happened to find a guy that had an Ivy League education that was, that was committed to coaching, and that's very rare to find. Generally those guys are scooped up by everybody else, but you knew that Matt had a passion for coaching. The fact that he was a GA at Boston College, he coached at a postgraduate school in Maine, coaching at Harvard as a part-time coach. When you're willing to do that, when you have a Dartmouth degree, it says a lot about your passion for the game and how hard you're willing to work. So we gave him an opportunity in Tennessee, and everything that we gave Matt, he did a good job of, or did a good job with, and he got more to do. Became a very, very valuable member of the staff and was very fortunate. I was very fortunate when I got the job up here to be able to bring him up here as linebacker coach. Very, very good preparation, outstanding in evaluating the opponent and giving the players what they need to do their job on Sundays. And another guy that has he has great potential for career as a coordinator. And also as a head coach, a great relationship with the players. I'm very fortunate to have those guys. Sam Gash and Sean Jefferson were here on the staff, and even though we turned over most of the staff, those were two of the few guys that I kept on the staff because we respected their body of work so much. They've been able to fit in with the new staff, and they've been outstanding.
Jim, that's great. Thanks a lot. We appreciate it. Happy Thanksgiving.
Okay, folks.
Thanks, Jim. Appreciate it.